comment that's brought in the Bahai Revna, Chelut Beis, on this week's Parsha. Because in this week's Parsha we have the imposter, Yaakov Avinu, posing as a sub, he brings the following interesting shaila. Reuven lent money to Shimon. Shimon now owes Reuven, let us say, $5,000. So he brings that the following incident took place. Reuven called Shimon, and he said, Shimon, you have the money to pay me? He said, yeah. He said, you know, my son is going to be passing your neighborhood. He'll ring your bell in a few minutes and give him the money. He said, no problem. A couple of minutes later, somebody rings the bell of Shimon's house. However, the person is not Reuven's son. It's a collector. A shliach mitzvah is going from door to door. So he rings the bell, and Shimon opens the door, and he says, oh, I've been waiting for you, and he gives him an envelope full of money. The collector, who is used to getting a dollar or a shekel or two, is very delighted to get an envelope full of bills, and he goes on his way. A couple of minutes later, Reuven's son knocks on the door, and he says, who are you? He says, I'm Reuven's son, you gotta pay me. And he says, I just paid. You just paid who? I just paid the person I thought was Reuven's son. And the question was, what happens in this case? After all, Reuven told him, pay the fellow who rings your bell. Does he have to pay again? This is a shaila. Fascinating, interesting story, not much of a shaila. We all understand that Reuven never got paid, and Shimon paid the wrong person. Shimon, not his fault, he did it by mistake, but you make mistakes, you pay for your mistakes. We all understand that Shimon has to pay Reuven again. The fact that Shimon gave the money to a collector who came door to door is totally irrelevant, has nothing to do with Reuven or Reuven's son, and he has to pay him again. And that is what it says in the Sefer. I've got the story. The story, in truth, is worth retelling because of the Hashgacha process. Imagine, a man is collecting shkolim door to door, and in a very short time, there's a Sefer that he gets $5,000, which is donated to him, as far as he knows. He's not a ganav, to his knowledge. And he walks home, he had a good day. It's a wonderful story of Siyata Deshmaya, and that's why I wanted to share it with you. But then, coming to the phone as I was and reviewing this, I had a question. I don't understand. If somebody would go and be Teveya, the collector, of course he would have to return the money. The money was given to him under false pretenses. We all understand he's not entitled to the money, but he doesn't know it. What about this week's parasha? Isn't it the same story? Yitzchak tells Esav, go prepare my suda, and return, I'll give you a bracha. And someone else walks in, he gives him the bracha, and then Esav comes later. We all accept that Yaakov got the bracha, and he's entitled to it. I don't understand. Would anybody think that the collector is actually entitled to the $5,000? We all understand that if you find a collector, you tell him the story, he'll return it. It was given to Tos. Strange that the brachas to Yaakov, at least the way we accept it, are chal, that the bracha is valid to Yaakov, chalei davaru. The story for this week turns into the question for the week. And with this, let's move on to another topic. This topic, I'd like to start with something from Nach, from Navi, from Shaftim, Terekter Zion, Pasukid Zion. As you all should know, Shimshai marries a Plishni woman named Delilah, and Delilah is his undoing. Delilah is bribed to learn the secret of Shimshon's trance. And once, twice, and a third time, Shimshon lies to her. He says, my strength depends on this, or that, or a third thing, and they're all not true. Finally, Delilah says, you don't love me, and cries, you don't want to share your secret with me. And in a moment of weakness, Shimshon tells her. And the Pasuk says that this time Delilah believed him, that Tera Delilah, ki higigla es kalibai. Delilah saw that this time he's telling the truth, that if his hearer is cut, he will lose his strength. The Gemara in Saita Daftes asks Menayada, he lied to her three times, how did she know that this time he's telling the truth? Abaye Omar. You're the Vayvoisi Tzadik, the Lemapik Shem Shemayim Levatol. You see, when Shimshon responded, Shimshon said, Nazir Elohim Ani, I'm a Nazir of God, and he said God's name. So the Gemara says she realized that this Tzadik would not say the Shem Shemayim Levatol. And if he said Nazir Elohim Ani, Amar Avadai Kushta Kamar, he's certainly telling the truth. And therefore she knew he's telling the truth, cut his hair, and the rest is the story of Shimshon. This Gemara said, tell her, what do you mean? Yod HaBay Ma'is HaTzadik Dolematik Shem Shemayim Levatola? All of you are listening to me giving this year. Are you Matik Shem Shemayim Levatola? Would you say God's name for nothing? Would you say Zero Bekimani and say Hashem's name? Never in a million years. What is Yod HaBay Ma'is HaTzadik Dolematik Shem Shemayim Levatola? Tell her, really a tell her. Let's turn to this week's parasha. Rabbi Yaakov has a piece on the parasha. At the time that Yaakov Avinu comes to Yitzchak, and he is pretending to be Esav, and Yitzchak asks, "Mazeh mi'arta b'ni? How did you come so quickly?" And he, Yaakov, disguised as Esav, replies, "Ki hikra Hashem alakecha l'fanai, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu caused me to find the food right away." He says, "Yitzchak, this is Esav." Yitzchak said, "Ain derech Esav liyashem shemayim shakur betiv." It's suspicious. Why is he saying God's name? Esav doesn't say God's name. He doesn't talk about the Rabbeinu Shalom. There's something suspicious. And Yitzchak says, "Kishona avamush chadei, come, I want to tempt you." This is what it says in the parasha. The Rabbeinu asks, "What are you talking about? Esav was not a rasha in the eyes of his father. Yitzchak thought that Russia is a fine person. So what does it mean that Ein Derech Esav Liyashem Shemayim Shogar B'Tiv? What's going on?" The Rambam explains the following. He says that Yitzchak thought that Esav doesn't say God's name. Why? When you talk to someone, and we have the custom, someone says, "How do you feel?" And you say, "Baruch Hashem." You're allowed to say God's name, Me'ikar Hadin. Say, "Baruch Hashem, this and this happened." You're allowed to say God's name. It's our chokka we do for your Shemayim. The Rambam says that the thought of Yitzchak was that since Esav is an Ishtzayid, he's catching animals, skinning them, cutting them up, he's in a place that's not always clean. And therefore, as a chokka, he always says Hashem, not Hashem's name. Which is the practice of most people today. We say Hashem, not Hashem's name, although, if you look at the Magen Avraham, Simen Resh Tezvav, Sishei, he brings this Hanhaga, and Rabbi Yaakov Emden, quoted in the Shari Tshuva there, says, no, you should say Hashem's name when you're talking to people. The Ching Shalom in Gemara. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says, when you learn Gemara, say Hashem's name when you read a Pasuk. Whatever your practice is, says Rabbi Yaakov, the Kavanas HaRamban, that ordinary people don't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. When we talk, we say Hashem. And that's what Yitzchak thought Esav was doing. That if you go places, you're among people, don't get used to saying Hashem's name. If you say Hashem's name in a place that's not clean, if you're facing perhaps a woman whose hair is not covered when it should be, then it's an avera to say Hashem's name. And therefore, we have a hachoka that we don't say Hashem's name. Who actually would speak out God's name in talking? Only somebody who's really a tzaddik, like Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was sure that every time he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, he'll be conscious of whether he's allowed to say it under those circumstances. And therefore, when Yitzchak said, "Why did you come so quickly?" He said, "Ki yikra Hashem Alekeinu Lefanai." He said Hashem's name. Hashem Alekecha Lefanai. He said Hashem's name. Only a tzaddik speaks to people and has the right to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Now we return to the Gemara in Saita, and it's beautiful. Yad Rabbi Ba'i say tzaddik to Ema B'Shem Shemayim Levatoma. When you and I read the Navi and it says that Shimshon said Nizir Alekim Ani, we don't know if he said Alekim with a kuf sound, or he actually said it with a hay sound. We don't know. So Chazal tell us the Talmidim will say, oh, you say tzaddik, he's a tzaddik. He says HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name when he talks. And therefore, Yadav Ba'ilai say tzaddik, that he's conscious of what he says, and will only say Hashem's name when it's proper. Somebody who's not a tzaddik but never have said and spoken out the shame Hashem. And so, one story with a message, one piece of Navi with a message. And let's try one more. HaKol Kol Yaakov HaYadai Midei Esav. The Pesh Pshat, this has nothing to do with the bracha. It's an observation. Yitzchak says, well, the sound is the sound of Yaakov. The hands are the hands of Esav. However, Chazal understood that there is a bracha with Dairais. And the Gemara in Gindas Nun Zayin on the day says, HaKol Kol Yaakov Eimach HaTzila Shemayelas Shein Ba Mizari Shadakev. There's no tefillah that helps if it doesn't have some connection to Zari Shoyakov. So the davening, successful davening, is connected, and this is the bracha, the gift of HaKol Kol Yaakov. Well, this is a tefillah. It's not so. Goyim also daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the tefillahs are answered. Ki beisi beis tefillah yikarei v'cholo amin. The Beis HaMikdash is a place that anybody could go to daven. We learned the tefillahs of Ninveh and Sefer Yaina, where the tefillahs and the tshuva is answered. We learned by Shlomo HaMelech when he built the Beis HaMikdash, he says, Gamel Nachri, Asholemi Hamcha Yisraelu. This should work for a non-Jew as well. And therefore, it's a little hard to understand what the Gemara means. The power of tefillah was given to Yaakov. The power of tefillah is available to everybody in the world. To answer this question, I turn to Parshas Soschanim. There, the pasuk says, "Ki mi goy gadol asheloi lekim, kashem lekenu b'chol kareinu elav." Who has a God as we do? That b'chol kareinu elav, when we dive into Hashem, He answers us. There, the Bris Gerav in the Grizal HaTorah, it's our question that we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he asks there, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers every guy, Kimi Goy Gadol, every guy, Hashem is there, B'chol Kareinu Elav. And the Bris Gerav answers, and it's true, davening is for everybody, Jew and non-Jew alike. Incidentally, in Digris Maisha, he writes that it's part of the mitzvah of Emunah that a non-Jew is obligated in, is to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shas sarah. So the etzem davening is available to everybody. Says the Bris Gerav, it's the added benefit of Tumah Tzibur, of davening with a minyan, which is unique to Klal Yisrael. Tumah Tzibur, minyan. The Gemara says minyan is only Yehudim. It's only Yidden that count to minyan. And there are Asar Yehudim, the Shchina Shriya Beinayim. A non-Jew, no matter how big a tzaddik, cannot be part of minyan. Minyan, Tzibur, is unique. And that's unique to Klal Yisrael. HaKol Kol Yaakov, the voice of the nation, the voice of the people, the voice is the Kol of Yaakov, the ability to daven with the Tzibur, with the Rabbin. Kadir Bayimas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds dear. And therefore, this Kol Kol Yaakov is a bracha of Tzibur HaTzibur, something that always means by everybody, the idea of davening with the Tzibur properly, HaKol Kol Yaakov. And with this, I wish that